It's time for overtime.
And I know just the guy to talk to.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Tell me more.
Hear from coaches, the players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a beautiful Monday edition of Overtime, Monday, August 25th, a.k.a. it is football season, officially beyond week zero. We are very much into week number one of the college football season. Roster cut down in the NFL, the Little League World Series crowns an international champion, and so much more. Welcome in to the leadoff edition of this week of August 25th edition of the program. Lot to get to today, including some season preview chats. USF football will be on the air and in studio live with us here in about 15 minutes. That's Coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback Cam Dean, and returning safety team captain Garrett Hoffman will also join us today in studio here in about 10 minutes. Thanks so much for being with us. In between that chat and our end of hour number one chat with SDSU football head coach Dan Jackson for the first time this season, we'll get you a little on this day in sports history, then all Jackrabbits all the time. That conversation with Coach Jackson beginning at 11:40. Hour number two, headlines and highlights, latest from the NFL, and there's a lot to get to. The Minnesota Vikings have yet to facilitate a trade for veteran wide receiver Adam Thielen. A lot of people, myself included, thought that the stars were aligning for a reunion late last week. That has yet to materialize. All is not lost. There's still plenty of time. Roster cutdown is tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central. So if you're looking for a prohibitive deadline for this deal to get done in the preseason, it might be tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock for Adam Thielen. But the Minnesota Vikings did make an intriguing trade yesterday. They've got a new backup quarterback. They send Sam Howell to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a draft pick or two. And they get Carson Wentz, a guy they could have had all along throughout this offseason, but now he's going to be the primary backup, I guess, to J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. And Max Brosmer, what it says about him. Is he going to make the roster? Is the QB3? Is he actually viewed as a potential QB2? I'm in that camp. I really feel like Max Brosmer could be the QB2 for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll dive into that news. And a big update for the Washington Commanders. They get the deal done with scary Terry McLaurin, and he's going to be in-house for a long time as the wide receiver one there in D.C. Big deal announced just about 20 minutes ago as one of the marquee names that had been holding out, had requested a trade away from D.C., is not going anywhere fast as Terry McLaurin's deal reportedly done, reportedly from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. That is the latest big news item out of the National Football League, and we preview the season ahead for the Chicago Bears in hour number two. How good can they be? What's the over-under looking like? I'm probably going to take the under for the ball game, but we will wait and see how it all shakes out for those Bears. You can tune in for that latest NFL segment around 12:20. Major League Baseball, college football. How about those Iowa State Cyclones? They were dogs overseas, and they proved to be top dog against Kansas State. We'll dive into that a little bit later. A Farmageddon recap and round out today's show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Rockies are bad and ugly throughout the season, and over the last few years, they continued that yesterday. That's where we start on the scorecard. Rockies lose in Pittsburgh 4-0. Other finals, St. Louis drops in Tampa 7-2. Kansas City wins in Detroit 10-8. That margin between those two teams, still sizable. 11 games between Detroit at the top and Kansas City in that two spot. White Sox blank the Minnesota Twins. That's right. You know you're bad when you lose to the White Sox, and you know you're awful when you get shut out by the White Sox and lose two in a row. Rocco Baldelli talking about what needs to go right for this team to start winning some ball games.
It can be hard when you're looking for that first one to kind of get you rolling sometimes, and it'll help with, you know, the energy and just give guys confidence, you know, when one or two guys find some space out there. But We'll just keep trying to get guys on base first and foremost. That's our first mission offensively. We did fine at that today, but we just couldn't bring anyone home, and there's been a few games like that.
It's been pretty darn tough, to be honest. Minnesota with that latest loss. Taj Bradley taking the loss, 59-71, the new record. White Sox giving chase. They're just 12 games out of fourth place in the AL Central after the weekend series win. Other finals from yesterday, San Francisco beats Milwaukee 4-3. Cleveland shut out in Arlington against Texas 5-0. And the Cubs get back on the right track. Big win over the Angels 4-3. Chicago is 76-55. Cal Raleigh set the all-time home run record for a catcher-dominated player, a guy that's behind a plate more often than not. He hits two homers over the weekend and sets the record for catchers in Major League Baseball history.
It's awesome. I mean, obviously, our fans are amazing, and to do it here, obviously do it anywhere would be really special, but to do it here in front of the fans and to give them that and see the appreciation was a really cool moment. On top of, obviously, a really good game.
So Cal Raleigh, one of the big season highlights there. A lot of MVP chance. Maybe he'll end up atop the mountain here in 2025. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Rays and Guardians get us going at 5:40. Twins and Blue Jays tussle in Toronto, 5:30 pregame, 6:05 the official start time. D-backs at Brewers, 6:40. Royals at White Sox, Pirates at Cardinals, Tigers at the A's. The nightcap tonight at 9:05. Week 3 of the NFL preseason is behind us. We got the regular season ahead, but we got to wait a week and a half. Next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday will be the season opener. Highlights over the weekend, Minnesota loses to the Titans in Nashville, 23-13. Max Brosmer talked about him, former Gopher, 161 passing yards and a score. Chicago Bears found a way to win their third preseason game in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Tyson Bagent recently re-signed quarterback, 3 touchdowns. Caleb Williams, 11-15, 113, and a touchdown. Ben Johnson, though, pretty critical of some early game struggles for the Bears.
Offensively, first two possessions was really sloppy football that, you know, has plagued us in and out of camp so far. And unfortunately, that's what we got here tonight. Good news is, you know, we'll be able to look at this tape and coach it up with our guys. And I think it's out of our system, hopefully, for us going into the regular season.
So the Bears win. They're 2-0-1 in the preseason. Whatever that means isn't much, but they win 29-27 against Kansas City. Chiefs are winless, which means they'll end up being pretty good, I'm sure. When it comes to the Bears, though, Courtney Cronin, who covers the team for ESPN.com, says it's all about consistency in 2025.
It's been a problem, though. It has certainly been something that has existed throughout training camp, a narrative that up and down, up and down, yeah, up and down. And when is it going to level off? That is what Bears fans want to know. Is it going to be when they start paring down the playbook? Is it going to be when they get ready for week one and he's focused on a select set of plays in this offense? It's got to come at some time, because if it looks like it did consistently throughout the preseason and in that game last week, it's going to be a struggle the first month or so of the season.
And it should be for the Chicago Bears. Again, season expectations. You could be the most optimistic fan in the world of Caleb Williams and of the Bears. And I think you might be crazy if you're thinking that team is going to the playoffs. You can hope for that. I don't think it's unrealistic to say there's a chance of that happening in Chicago. But it's a building year. It's a find out who Caleb Williams year is in the Windy City. For the Kansas City Chiefs, Pat Mahomes is geared up and ready to roll and says the preseason playing time, pretty valuable for him and his team.
Yeah, no, I was super excited to get out there, especially at Arrowhead, and get real reps with these guys. You know, I always talk about getting hit and stuff like that, and but to get the feel for the pocket, the trust with those guys, and give guys chances to make plays downfield, it shows that all the hard work that we put in and training camp is paying off. And this is a little step, but it's a little step in the right direction. And so we're excited now to have 2 weeks to kind of prepare to play a really good defense in the Chargers. And so it was a good step today, and we'll continue to build as we get ready for the regular season.
Chiefs and Chargers will be the second game of the regular season Friday night from Brazil, 7 o'clock, and a YouTube exclusive broadcast. Other finals for our area teams over the weekend, Detroit loses loses at home to Houston 26-7. Graham Mertz, former Badger quarterback, lighting it up for the Houston Texans in his final preseason game. Bo Nix looked good for the Broncos in a 28-19 win over the weekend, 110 yards and a touchdown. And SDSU alum, guest of our show just last week, Amar Johnson, did not get in the end zone, but the Green Bay Packers beat up Seattle on Saturday 20-7. Amar finished with 26 rushing yards and one catch, couple broken tackles, big first down for the Green Bay Packers in 10 yards. Regular season opener Thursday, next Thursday night, Cowboys at the Eagles, 7:20 on NBC. And lastly, rounding out the schedule for week one, Titans will visit the Broncos, biggest spread of the weekend. Denver favored by 7.5 this morning, 3:05 on Fox on Sunday. Lions at Packers, 3:25. Can listen to Packer football all season long right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Vikings and Bears and big TV spot, oh my, coming for Monday Night Football Week 1, 7:15 on ABC and ESPN. Lastly, from the NFL, the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation is not enviable. If you got two quarterbacks that you think could start, you don't have any. The Browns have four quarterbacks they think could start. They have six quarterbacks on the roster. Here's Mike Tannenbaum, former GM, on how he sifts through that situation in Cleveland.
It's very unusual, and ironically, they did do that last year, but last year, 13 teams had three, 18 teams had two. Typically, you're seeing a lot of teams put one on the practice squad at this point. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's not impossible to handle your roster that way. But when you're rebuilding, and certainly, you know, the Browns are, you're going to lose a player otherwise you'd be keeping. So I still see Kenny Pickett getting traded. To me, that just makes too much sense.
We'll see about the Browns. If you recall, last year they did keep four quarterbacks on that 53-man roster, subsequently released one after the deadline. Kind of strange behavior, but it is the Cleveland Browns after all. Rounding out the scorecard, NASCAR race, Ryan Blaney won at Daytona on Saturday night. The playoff field is set. We'll introduce you to that field, including New Zealand's own Shane Van Gisbergen later on in today's show. Race is going to be at Darlington to kick off the chase for the cup Sunday, 5 o'clock on USA TV. PGA Tour at long last, Tommy Fleetwood on top, 18 under, wins the tour championship. Russell Henley, Patrick Cantlay giving chase. They were second at 15 under par. And WNBA basketball, the return of Nafisa Collier, and she looked great yesterday in a 97-84 win against the Fever. She goes for 32 points, 9 rebounds. Minnesota, best record in the WNBA at 30-7. College football week zero, Iowa State better than Kansas State, 24-21 in Dublin. Both quarterbacks looked good statistically, very sluggish offensively. If we're being honest, a little bit of a snooze, a little bit of a sloppy start there. Rocco Beck just completing 50% of his passes, buck 83, two touchdowns and a rush touchdown. Avery Johnson, K-State quarterback, similar stats, 273 through the air, two touchdowns and a rush touchdown as well. Iowa State beating Kansas State 24-21. Other finals, Kansas over Fresno State, 31-7. Hawaii edges Stanford on a last-second field goal, 23-20. Incarnate Word, one of the top teams in the FCS, according to the pollsters in the preseason. They lose to Nichols, 20-6 over the weekend. And lastly, look out for Tarleton State. We know about them from last year, playoff matchup down in Vermilion. They had USD on the ropes for a good portion of that game. USD survives, gets the win. But how about Tarleton all over Portland State, 42-0 over the weekend. Victor Gabalis, the quarterback, two touchdowns. Team ran for 301 yards, 8 yards a carry in the dominant win to open up the season. Lastly, we'll say so long to the scorecard. Welcome in our in-studio guests here in just a moment. Week one of college football is ahead of us, and the Sioux Falls Cougars will match up out west in Spearfish against Black Hills State. That is a 7 o'clock go time on Thursday night this week. Buffalo at Minnesota, also a 7 o'clock go time on Fox Sports 1. Nebraska-Cincinnati from Arrowhead, 8 o'clock Thursday night. And Saturday, Augie home to Missouri Western, USD at Iowa State, Iowa home to Albany, Sac State at SDSU. That's a 6 o'clock go time for the Jackrabbits. We'll get our first break knocked out right here, right now. In-studio guests around the corner, USF Cougar football head coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback team captain Cam Dean, and defensive team captain safety Garrett Hoffman join us next on this Monday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Monday, August 25th edition of Overtime. It's Bert Ramin back here with you. USF Cougar football in studio. Head coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback and team captain Cam Dean, safety and defensive team captain Garrett Hoffman, join us now in studio. So great to have you guys as always. I'm going to come over to Coach first. He deserves the most pressure if we're being honest here. Take us through practice. Take us through camp. How's the offseason treated you?
Yeah, it's been really, really good. Our kids have worked really hard, and you know, it's kind of a funny deal, but the season starts, right, when the last season ends. And mm-hmm. So you basically have 1 year from November of 24 to November of 25, roughly. And so I tell these guys all the time, we're almost 75% through this year already, you know, when you think about it. And darn near halfway through the practices for the entire year once you get through fall camp. So, you know, it's been a good offseason, a long offseason. Our kids have worked really hard. They committed themselves in the summertime and been a very beneficial fall camp, and we're looking forward to Thursday night.
And certainly a big season ahead, and you guys get going against Black Hills State out in Spearfish Thursday, a 7 o'clock start time. Home opener for you USF Cougar fans out there will be Saturday, the 6th of September. Northern State coming down the road here to Sioux Falls. The team this year, as currently constructed, just highlight the roster for us. Who's back? Who's coming in for a bigger role this year? I know you got a big quarterback back. Defensive back field looks pretty good. Running back, we talked off air, Bubba Tan leading it up. But give us the nuts and bolts of the roster and the depth chart here.
Yeah, a lot of guys back. Very experienced offensive line. A ton of those guys played for us a lot last year, so we expect good things from them. Obviously, at quarterback with Cam back, this will be the fourth year that I've been on the same sideline with him. So certainly he's worked really hard. And, you know, obviously as a captain, the team sees the same things that I've seen, that he's a great leader, and looking forward to his most productive season. He's thrown the ball really well in camp. And the receiving core, a really good receiving core, a top four or five guys are back. The one addition we have is Isaiah Emanuel, who's actually a grad transfer from Mankato. So we actually had a couple guys in our team this year that we played literally against last year. So Gavin Nunnally came from St. Thomas, and then Isaiah obviously coming from Mankato. So that's been kind of unique. But so their perspective on maybe what they thought of us last year on the other side of the other locker room has been really interesting to hear those guys, their thoughts. And so that's kind of helped our guys have some perspective. But that wide receiving core, I would expect with Hank Brown back as a sophomore, Christian Janis and Adonis Hutchinson, along with Isaiah, really, really feel good about it. Jack Merquan's a kid out of Pier that's going to see some playing time this year. So feel good about those guys. The tight end room, we graduated a couple all-conference players, but with Dalton Wood and Noah Robertson, a local product out of Sioux Falls here, Noah, expect that group to kind of pick up where we left off. And then on the defensive side of things, you know, Cal Botsford back for a seventh year. Go figure with COVID and all these other stuff going on, injuries. But he's a grad student. He's back. I feel great about him up front. And I feel like our defensive tackles will be a really strong point for our program. Dawson Rabe is a junior, played as a true freshman for us, kid out of Pierce, Nebraska. And then Preston Yonke, who's a grad student, came back for another year. Those two guys will kind of anchor us on the inside and give us some presence. And linebacker, Andy Henson's back. He was a first-team all-league player as a redshirt freshman, was the newcomer of the year in the league. So feel like kind of that strong center point, along with Garrett and Cade Morris, another leadership guy for us. That middle of our defense should be stout with our D-tackles, Andy Henson at Mike, and then the two safeties. And so we'll see. You know, I think for us, the biggest thing is consistency. The biggest thing is making sure we know what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. And my third year in the program, I feel pretty good about kind of the expectations, and these guys understand what it means and what we're trying to accomplish.
Big season ahead for USF Cougar football. Voice you're hearing just then, head coach Jim Glagowski. We got quarterback Cam Dean, safety Garrett Hoffman here in the studio with us as well. We'll head over to the offensive leader, quarterback Cam Dean, our guest here. Cam, welcome into the studio. I know you weren't here last year when we had the team in here, but big year ahead for you guys. How excited are you to get things going on Thursday?
No, I'm super excited. I mean, like Glo said, it's been a pretty long offseason, but at the same time, it's flown by. Senior year, a lot of guys coming back. We're really excited. We're really experienced up front, which is really exciting for, you know, a quarterback. Good receiving core, good tight end core. Running backs, excited to have those guys back. Hopefully sometimes take the load off me. But no, we're super excited, and I'm excited to get back at it and play some football again.
Certainly Thursday night, a big one at Black Hills State, 7 o'clock start time. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts here. Any coach would tell you with a smile, we got our quarterback back. It's a big deal when you have a returning quarterback, but you've got yourself back as a returner. You got a running back behind you that's experienced. We mentioned the trio of receivers. How good is that? And the offensive line, you guys got to feel pretty good offensively heading into the year.
Yeah, like you said, it makes it really easy on a quarterback having pretty much everybody back. Like you said, I mean, we lost some key players, but like the guys we have coming in and filling in those spots are just as good, if not better. And I'm pretty excited for those guys to or for people to find out about those guys pretty soon here. But, you know, as a quarterback, you can't do it alone. So, like I said, offensive line, super, super experienced. 6 or 7 guys coming back. So that's exciting. Makes me feel comfortable in the pocket. The receiving core, lose no strides in that. 3 guys coming back, plus Isaiah Emanuel, which I played with before at Mankato. Mm-hmm. So that's just picked up where we left off. So that's exciting. And then our tight ends. I'm feeling really confident about those guys. You know, those guys can block. They can run routes just as good as the other guys. So I'm excited to have those guys too. And I'm feeling really comfortable and really confident. So I'm excited to go out on Thursday and light it up.
Big year ahead for USF Cougar football. You can grab your tickets. They got flex pack options. Key to the City at home this year. USFCougars.com, the place to go to view the roster, depth chart, everything you need, schedule as well. Cam Dean is our guest here, quarterback Cam Dean. When it comes to your college career, take me back 2-3 years ago. What did you struggle with that you feel like you're a lot more rounded into form now with? And what are a couple things that you have big eyes on this year to improve with your game?
Yeah, coming into college, when I was in high school, I ran the triple option. So when I first got in, I really had no clue what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember me and Glover talked about this the other day. My first scrimmage ever, when I started as a freshman at Mankato, I threw an interception to a dropping D lineman. I had no clue what I was looking at. I read one guy, threw it, didn't end well. So that whole year was just a learning process, just trying to figure out what I was doing out there playing actual football, not just running the triple option. But, you know, for me, that's probably the biggest thing throughout my college career, just reading coverages and, you know, just learning the game better and just becoming a student of the game. Again, I'm continuing to improve on that and work on that. I feel like this offseason has been huge. Again, it helps having receivers that you're on the same page with. Knowing where they're going to be at all times is very helpful. And then just having protection up front. So I'm just looking to improve at that and, you know, continue to work on my strengths and, yeah.
And half of the battle, obviously, in the sport of football is what you do out on the field, but it's also in between the ears and believing in yourself and your offense. What do you think about the internal belief right now for you personally, but also the offense? How confident is this group ahead of Thursday night's opener?
No, we're super confident. Me, myself, I'm, you know, I'll always be confident in, you know, my abilities. Again, it helps to have the guys around me to, you know, believe in myself. But, you know, we've made the point across that we know we're a good football team. We've seen it last year. We're this close. Like, we beat the team that made it to the national champion or national quarterfinals, mm-hmm. or semifinals, actually. And, you know, that puts into perspective, like, we're right there. Like, we're one step away. And, you know, now we just got to finish this year. So
USF Cougars just shy of a postseason appearance last year. Big goals ahead. Let's pass the mic over here. Sioux Falls native, Sioux Falls Washington grad Garrett Hoffman joins us. This is his second time in studio. Pretty cool hat tip there to Garrett. Welcome back, my friend. How you been?
I've been good. Thanks. Good to be back.
It's a big year ahead for you guys defensively. Take us through the defense and kind of to echo the sentiment there, that belief that you guys have in the unit and the strengths. And Cal Botsford, 7 years in college. As they used to say, I think that's Tommy Boy. A lot of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. But in today's day and age with football, things are a little different. You got a lot of returners back in a confident group, I'm sure, on defense. What do you think?
Like you said, you know, we are a pretty confident group. We got a lot of guys that have game experience. Plenty of guys that are rotating and ready to go up front. I mean, they really set the tone. We got Dawson Rabe, Preston Yonke, Cal coming back again for what feels like his 12th year. you know, we have a lot of confidence up front, and we got a lot of young guys who are going to go in and be able to rotate. They know what they're doing, and they have a great group of just leadership back there, so they're going to set the tone, and that's what's really huge for our defense. You know, having Andy Henson back is huge. He's fitting gaps, you know, he wears the cool collar, so there's a reason he's back there. But yeah, our linebacker core, we got London Cole, Madrano, Charlie Quaintance. We brought in Owen McLeod. Super excited to see what those guys could do. And then our secondary, I have so much confidence back there. Just looking over, I see Cade Morse, Trey Lewis, Bo Giblin. Those guys ready to fly around, communicate, get everyone kind of set up and just make plays for us. And then our secondary, we got Wells, Kay McWilliams, we brought in Day-Day. A couple of young guys coming in, but, you know, I think they're excited to get their feet wet.
Certainly a big year ahead for USF football. They're going to be visiting Black Hill State in Spearfish Thursday night, the opener. 7 o'clock is the start time. Home opener, grab your tickets right now, usfcougars.com. Northern State, that'll be Saturday, September the 6th. Garrett, let's talk about your game and your defensive unit there. Last year, how did you think you guys finished the season? Personnel's a little different now with some folks moving on, folks coming in. Where can this unit
get better coming up this season, and it starts on Thursday?
Well, I think it just starts with confidence. You know, our motto is put the ball down. Doesn't matter where or where we're at in the field, how much time is left. Just, you know, put the ball down. You're ready to go to work. And our defense is built on discipline. And so everyone being able to do their job builds a lot of confidence in us. And we have guys coming in that have bought in, you know, since the offseason. And so they're doing their job great, which makes the next person do their job that much better. So I think all of us being super disciplined and ready to fly around is going to be a huge part of our defense this year.
And a big part of the secondary at any level of football is trust. As a safety, you play safety for a reason. You're that safety on the back of the defense. What do you kind of gauge the trust level with you and the defensive backs in particular on the defense?
I feel like, you know, we got, what is it, telekinetic power sometimes. I feel like sometimes we don't got to communicate just because we know that that person, you know, has put in the time, watched film, done walkthroughs. You know, we've spent countless hours off the field, off practice, being able to know what we're going to see, kind of visualize stuff. So just the back half, I have so much confidence in us to be able to know what we're supposed to do without even having to say a word sometimes. So
a lot of confidence there on the defensive side of the football as well. That is safety Garrett Hoffman, team captain. Quarterback Cam Dean joined us a moment ago. Going back to the head coach now here in Jim Glagowski, who's in studio as well. Give me the scout of Black Hills State. What do you expect to see out in Spearfish from a personnel standpoint? There's a little bit of turnover with the coaching staff, so a little hard to project certain things. But what can you tell us about the Yellow Jackets coming up on Thursday night?
Yeah, Coach Bresky does a great job. You know, he's been there for a few years. Ironically, he spent some time coaching at the University of Sioux Falls. And so he definitely knows the culture. He kind of knows what Sioux Falls football is all about. They do have an offensive coordinator that's joining them that spent some time at the University of Mary. So he's seen us last year, did very well against us, actually, schematically. So I would anticipate they're a very confident group that they feel like they can put a plan together to attack the things that are going to cause them some problems. But I expect a group that's very physical, that's very, very well coached, that's disciplined, that's going to play really hard. I know it's their opener, obviously, so they're going to be jazzed up. Their season's kicking off just like ours. Their kids have worked hard. They got guys on scholarship just like we do. So I completely expect a well played, very physical, down-to-the-wire football game. And, you know, hopefully, as we talked about with our players in the first early games of the season, it's about who can minimize the big mistakes, you know. And if we can create a situation where we're giving ourselves opportunities versus putting ourselves in tough situations, I mean, that's what you're trying to avoid as a football team early on. And hopefully, if those opportunities present themselves, we're prepared well enough to take advantage of them. And if we do that, we'll be okay. And I expect, you know, it's a trip to go back. I joked around with the guys, we're going back in time, right? You're time traveling a little bit, going out to the Mountain Standard time zone. And it's obviously none of us have ever been there before, so that's going to be new. And that's going to be something we have to deal with. But I think our kids are experienced enough to be able to handle those things. And I think we'll come out and we'll play hard and let the results kind of see where they fall.
Last year, you guys had a really good start to the year, 3-0 right out of the gates. What's a key or two to a solid start like that? I know it's one game at a time, asking you about week two, three, four, but a key to a fast start this year for your group. What do you think?
Well, even going back to last year, we were coming off a tough season, 3-8, and I thought the biggest thing for us was in that game, it was kind of crazy. We had a weather delay. We were sitting in a cramped locker room. We're on the road. It's a night game. All these things that should be an issue. But what I felt like then, and I do feel the same thing right now, is our kids just kind of deal with what they can control. And we talk about that a lot. And in that game, I think we had a turnover. They had a quick touchdown. And matter of fact, both these guys were on both sides of that the turnover, throwing the pick, and then the touchdown in the back of the end zone, which is ironic. They're both here today.
Yeah.
But a tribute to both these young men here is they handled it and moved on to the next play. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that a lot in fall camp. Whatever happened yesterday is in the past. What happens today is important. Let's control today. And I think that's the biggest thing is can we kind of – the ebbs and flows of a game are going to happen, and you can't get too high, you can't get too low, but can you play hard? And are you sure that you're supposed to be in this spot at this time, and then it'll take care of itself? Because – you know, for us, we want to be a physical football team. We want to run the football. We want to be able to convert on third down. We want to minimize turnovers and force turnovers. Like every coach says that stuff. But for us, if we're able to be successful, we'll do those things well on Thursday night.
Massive start to the season out in Spearfish. Black Hills State, the opponent, set Thursday at 7 o'clock. And again, the home opener Saturday, September 6th against Northern. Head coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback Cam Dean, safety Garrett Hoffman, Sioux Falls native Garrett Hoffman in studio with us here on this Monday edition of Overtime. Before I cut you guys loose again, thanks so much for the time. This is awesome. I love highlighting you guys, your program, your team here in the 605. Let's talk about just these young men here. Highlight what they do so well as leaders for your team, why they're team captains, and then also let's just talk about Bob Youngfield and getting that place rocking this year, the schedule, getting some butts in the seats, because that's a fun place and it'll be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, these starts, you know, with leadership up front, and we vote as a team. Everybody gets a vote, and then we kind of, you know, you rank it by points and all that. And these two gentlemen, I'm proud to say, were by far and away the largest amount of the votes went to these two guys. And I think for a couple different reasons, you know, I think the quarterback certainly gets the spotlight when it goes well, and he also gets it when it doesn't go well, right? And that's part of the territory that comes with being a quarterback. And he's handled it really well. Like I said earlier, we've been together now for 4 years. He followed me down here, or he came with me, or however you want to say it, when I left Mankato. And certainly I appreciate that. Came into a tough situation with a quarterback who had been kind of entrenched as a two-year starter, and certainly played it out on the field, and he ended up winning the job. And 3-8's not exactly the greatest way you want to start your career, but then to go 8-3, and then I think this year he'd be the first to tell you he's really comfortable in his skin, so to speak, as a senior quarterback, and he's shown that since last season when the season ended in the locker room up through the spring ball. So really just excited, just a great kid. Great family. We've got his younger brother as a true freshman quarterback on our roster, probably going to redshirt. So just a great family. I'm excited to spend one more year with him. And based on the NCAA, maybe it's another year after that. We'll see. You never know how that's going to shake out. And then with Garrett, I mention this all the time. He's one of the first guys I saw when I had my first day on the job. He was in the weight room already working that December day. And so a kid, a local kid, if you talk to some of the local coaches, we've got some former coaches that are alums of Sioux Falls that coached him when he was younger, and they say the same thing. Just a kid that is relentless in his pursuit to be the best he can be. And I think that rubs off, because I would say both of these guys, and not to, you know, embarrass them, but they're not the most vocal guys in the world. They're definitely leaders by example, which can be kind of a tricky thing when you're talking about captains. But I think they're what they put out there and how they carry themselves is such a strong statement. They don't have to say anything, you know, and these guys do a great job of saying, hey, listen, this is how we do it this way. Let me show you. And then let me help you if you're not reaching that standard. And I think that's where they certainly got the respect of their teammates. So, but yeah, we need the support. We need people out. We need people. It's a great atmosphere. It's a relatively inexpensive family opportunity to get together. I know, like, when we have homecoming and things like that, they got bounce houses out there and the tailgating. Shout out to the Cougar Football Legacy Association. Our CFLA does a great job of supporting us. They do a great job with the tailgate and the pregame stuff. And our administration, you know, from John Hart all the way down to Maddie and all those folks over there, and Eric, and all the folks over in our athletic department, do such a great job in creating an atmosphere that's college football-esque on a Saturday afternoon. And obviously the wind's going to come through the bob on some Saturdays, and it's going to be chilly some Saturdays, but I just think that there's a lot of great talent in this town. There's a lot of great football in this community. Obviously, our arch rival, three blocks away, that's pretty unique in its own right. We get the fortune of having the Key to City game at our place this year. So just please, everybody come out and support. And, you know, as a USD alum, being in this area for a long time, and South Dakota State up the road, and, you know, even NAIA schools across the state, they're such great football. Get out and support your local team, because I know the players and coaches appreciate it.
USFCougars.com, USFCougars.com. Grab your tickets. Take a look at the schedule. All sorts of different packs available. They've got the Flex Pack, the Key to the City combo as well. Also, several big games on the home slate. Northern State, Duluth, Winona, Wayne State, and, of course, the Augustana Vikings coming down to the bob as well. USF football head coach Jim Glagowski. Lastly, I said lastly a minute ago. I know coaches don't care about these things. I could wear an entirely white uniform, an entirely blank uniform, as long as we win the game. Give me a little bit of insight into some uniform combos. Are you guys going back, if you can? Are you guys doing script or the new logo? I like the script, personally. The new logo I also love, but the script is so clean. We saw the Cyclones do it over the weekend. Are you allowed to say anything? You can tell me. No, I'm not giving anything away. Yeah. Give me some little bit of a look at what the unis might look like for a game this year. Yeah. Give me something.
Well, I'm going to tell you the opener right now. Okay. We're going in. So brand new Nike apparel. We BSN's our lead agent, and so we're going to Nike this year. So you're going to see us in purple Nike pants with brand new fresh white tops with purple numbers and black trim. And then we're going to go with the white helmet and the white face mask with the script Cougars on the side.
Yeah. Love it.
And then white undergarments. So then our guys, they can wear short socks, long socks, tall socks. I don't care. They got to be white. They can wear one sleeve, no sleeve, one leg. We have a former player. I'll give a shout out to Brady Crawford. He was the master of the one legging, which I don't know why you wear one legging, but that was his deal. So you can, whatever you want to wear, one or two leggings, it's just got to be white. So crisp, clean, white, and then we'll see. We do have some other opportunities with some purple and black options too, so different color helmets, but 1 week at a time, and we'll see how it looks, but I think we'll look sharp on Thursday night.
Hey, keep them undercover. Cam Dean might be wearing an Aaron Rodgers white turtleneck. We'll see with the undergarments there for the big game coming up on Thursday at Black Hills State, 7 o'clock start time, home opener against Northern State. That is Saturday, September the 6th. USF football preview. Guys, thanks so much for the time. We'll do it again real soon, I'm sure. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. That's Coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback Cam Dean, safety Garrett Hoffman. We'll be talking to Coach every single Monday for the rest of time, I wish, but every single Monday during season at 11:20 here, recapping the things that happened, previewing the things to come for USF Cougar football. Great conversation there. Quick toe dip into On This Day in Sports History next. Then we come right back talking football. SDSU first year head football coach Dan Jackson joins us in about 5 minutes on this Monday edition of Overtime. You're tuned in right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
You want more of Overcast? Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
It is a football-filled Monday edition of Overtime, as it should be. Week zero behind us. Several FCS games to recap over the weekend with you later on in the show. We're also previewing things to come. Just got done in studio. USF Cougar football head coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback Cam Dean, safety Garrett Hoffman. We're just here. You can revisit that interview at the end of the hour at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Let's talk Jackrabbit football now. First-year head coach Dan Jackson back with us on the air here in Sioux Falls. Coach, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Finally game week.
Finally game week indeed. We're finally here. It feels like an eternity. We're getting tuned up for Sac State coming up Saturday at home. 6 o'clock the start time. We'll preview that game towards the end of our chat, but just take us through camp and practice and how the team is feeling and looking right now. How do you surmise things are going for Jackrabbit football in the lead up to the season, Coach?
Really good camp. I thought we built chemistry. We continue to get closer. Banked a lot of reps together, which was positive. I think our coaches did a really good job planning out drills and practice segments that allowed us to be ready for all situations, and we were able to stay healthy. So I feel really good. The guys are excited and look forward to playing against somebody other than each other. So they're ready to roll.
Massive game to get it going. Sacramento State, also a nationally ranked team, coming in to Brookings and Dana J. Dykhouse. Head coach Dan Jackson of the South Dakota State Jackrabbit football program is our guest here. Hour number one on a Monday. When it comes to rounding into form, you get this puzzle at the start of the offseason. You kind of shape it in. You determine the depth chart, find out the strengths and areas to work on the team. How do you kind of assess how things have rounded into form for your group, frankly, over the last couple of weeks as you get ready to kick things off on Saturday?
I think we did a good job putting together the best possible roster. And then once you get the guys, it's all about evaluation and putting them in situations to be able to find out who your best players are, which is different because we don't have a ton of experience with some of our newer transfers or even the freshmen that are coming in. So you have to constantly be evaluating. And I think we did a really good job putting together the roster. I mean, you know, we're coming back. We lost a really good senior class a year ago. Those guys played a lot of football together. They were really talented. And then obviously some kids that were on the roster that aren't anymore. So for us, it's critical that we found the right guys and now we're getting them in the right positions. And then, you know, until you see guys in games, I mean, there's always going to be, you can see a lot of things in practice, but there's always a little bit of unknown to who plays better in the games. Who raises their level, and are there guys that for whatever reason don't do that? I think this season in general is going to be one where we're going to be constantly learning about ourselves and our team and being able to, there'll be guys moving up and down the depth chart probably throughout the season. I think that as the year goes on, we're just going to continue to get better as we get experience and game reps with one another. So I feel really good about where we're at, what our coaches have done to this point, but you know, as the season goes on, you know, we're going to be growth mindset and always trying to find ways to improve every week.
South Dakota State Jackrabbit football, the topic of conversation. First-year head coach Dan Jackson is our guest here on this Monday, August 25th edition of Overtime. Everyone wants to talk about quarterback this time of year, returning quarterback, new quarterback, transfer quarterback. You got a returning quarterback this year in Chase Mason. Twofold question here. What stands out about the young man? Let us behind the curtain a little bit about the personality traits that lead to him being a successful college quarterback. And also, how valuable do you think the experience that Chase had over the last couple of years, that spot duty behind Mark, how valuable was that in his progression as a college quarterback?
I mean, Chase has got really high character first and foremost. he is himself all the time, which is critical at all positions, especially quarterback. He's consistent. He loves football, so he shows up here every day with a smile on his face, ready to work. Really proud of his work ethic and how much he's improved at playing the position and learning defenses and learning, you know, so much about the game. Coach Eisness has been a blessing for Chase. I think it's the perfect fit of really talented kid who loves football and wants to get better and needed to improve with a coach that has a track record of developing great quarterbacks and teaching them how to operate. So Chase may be probably, he's up there for one of our most improved players from spring ball till now. And it's been pretty incredible to see his growth. You know, I give him a lot of credit for his work ethic and buying into that. He has great leadership traits because, like I said, he is who he is. The guys love him. He's a guy's guy. You know, he's got zero ego to him. And so I'm just really, really proud of him in so many ways. And I think the experience that he had last year kind of allows him to go into the season with some confidence, knowing he can play at a high level. There's no doubt, you know, that he's going to be able to go out there and perform because he's done it before. And now it's just doing it more consistently because he's going to have more reps, obviously. So, you know, I think the experience, if anything, just gives him confidence to know that he can do it. And now he's got a lot of confidence because he knows he can play the position better than he would have been able to a year ago. But proud of him, love him. He's been a blessing for a first-year head coach to come in and have your quarterback set.
Very exciting stuff ahead for SDSU Jackrabbit football. They open up the season at home against Sac State Saturday, 6 o'clock start time. I'm sure the tailgate lots will be open and rowdy for long before the game gets going. A lot of new names to know. We highlighted Chase. He's not necessarily new, but a little bit more to know about that guy into the starting role. How about the team's running back this year? Just the room in general, but also Julius Luffridge. Tell us about him and what he can bring to the team this fall.
Yeah, Juice has been a really good leader, very steady. I mean, he's got, in terms of a player, he's got great contact balance. He runs through tackles. He's always getting yards after contact, and he's a guy that's been a workhorse. So, you know, playing a lot of snaps or carrying the football quite a bit isn't going to be something that's new to him. I think he actually probably gets better as the game wears on with his style of play. But been really proud of him for stepping up and help leading what has become a younger group outside of him. And then, you know, he's an explosive player that can do a lot of different things. So we're looking forward to seeing him out there Saturday. And I know he is too. He's played so many snaps, like in game, that practice is good for him. But you know, he's ready. He's game ready. And behind him, I mean, we're going to play guys like Brendan Begeman's had a great camp, and I've seen him improve a ton. James Basinger is a freshman that's been phenomenal. You know, I look forward to seeing him play. Corey Blair Jr. is a freshman who's as talented of a player as we've had. Just still continually getting him in position to be game ready. And Clint Renfro, you know, so I think we actually have a deep backfield of guys that will rotate in there, with Juice kind of being the workhorse, if you will.
GoJacks.com, the place to grab your tickets, view the schedule, the roster, everything. South Dakota State Jackrabbit football, GoJacks.com. Coach Dan Jackson is our guest. Coach, before we cut you loose, appreciate the time immensely. We'll be talking to you every single Monday during the season here on the show. Hour number two, 12:30-ish is when we'll be talking with Coach Jackson moving forward. Just to comment on Sac State, what you see out of the program, this year's team, what you think about what they can do really well this year. They're nationally ranked. And a big challenge coming in on Saturday. What stands out about the program and the team you'll see this weekend?
You know, they went through transition too. First-year head coach, which I have a lot of respect for. He's been successful as an offensive coordinator everywhere he's been. You know, and he's reshaped his roster as well. I mean, they have over 60-some new transfers on their team. Not a lot of returning snaps and game experience for them. But I think this is going to be one of the most talented teams that we play all season in terms of true talent. And they are going to be, they're going to try to be explosive on offense. They run the go-go style offense, which is, you know, a couple running backs on the same side as the quarterback. They're going to present some unique formations. You know, Coach Marion's been all about explosive plays and establishing the run game and then taking his shots downfield. You know, they've got two quarterbacks. I assume both of them are going to play. You know, a guy that throws the ball a little more than a guy that can really come in and run it. So expect to see a couple QBs. And then I think defensively they're going to be really aggressive and try to get after the quarterback with some pressures and play man and mix in some zones. But really, when you look at their roster individually, I mean, it is a very talented team. A lot of four and five-star prospects coming out of high school are on their roster. And they're going to come in here with a ton of energy and excitement with a new staff. I think they'll even probably initially probably feed off the environment early in the game, playing in front of a big crowd. So, you know, we're expecting to get their best shot. They are really talented and a well-coached team. And, you know, we need to be really sound and execute in this game to just continue to apply pressure on them. But this is a big-time matchup for game one home opener. This is about as good as we've had in a long time.
GoJacks.com. Grab your tickets today. Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium, Saturday, a 6 o'clock go time. Pre-game coverage long before then on the Jackrabbit Sports Network from Learfield. If you can't make it out to Dana J., the game will also be broadcast on TV, Midco Sports, and on ESPN+. That's Jackrabbit head football coach Dan Jackson. Coach, always a blast to have you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to next week already.
All right. Jackrabbits in action coming up on Saturday. Big game, big games to start the year for Jackrabbit football. They are going to be at home, of course, to Sac State coming up on Saturday. The week following, what do they have next? They got to go to Bozeman to take on Montana State. We're going to know exactly who the Jackrabbits are. At least we think we will after two games this year to get going. They'll see Drake at home after that in the early portion of the schedule. Also a home game against Mercyhurst to round out the top four games, first four games of the 2025 season. Great chat moments ago with head coach Dan Jackson. We're going to squeeze in on this day in sports history coming up next as we say so long to hour number one. Keep it tuned here. You can grab the podcast link with both head coaches in studio, on the air and in studio in just a moment for hour number one at ESPNSiouxFalls.com and in the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. We take the break. Come back with On This Day in Sports History next on Overtime.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up hour number one on this Monday, August 25th edition of Overtime. We had the USF football Cougar football program here in studio. Quarterback Cam Dean, safety Garrett Hoffman, head coach Jim Glagowski in hour one. Also just wrapped up our chat with SDSU first-year head coach Dan Jackson. All of that for your consumption momentarily. Podcast link will be posted at ESPN Sioux Falls, wherever you get your podcast, and on the ESPN Sioux Falls free mobile app. Let's hit the historical events on this day. A lot going on this day in sports history.
History repeats itself.
Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner.
Well, sometimes.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
In the world of sports, there are moments that are fleeting.
And Barnes, that one high, it's a game! It is out of here!
And some that live forever.
In the end zone, it is caught!
It's time for Bert to deliver those moments that happened on this day in sports history.
Really fun segment as always, and we go all the way back to 1804, where Alicia Thornton became the first female jockey in all of England, riding at Knavesmire in Yorkshire on this day in 1804. As you'll find out today, August 25th, a day of many firsts, especially for females athletes in the world. 1875, Captain Matthew Webb did the impossible, made the first recorded unassisted swim across the English Channel, did it in 21 hours and 45 minutes. No thank you. But Captain Matthew Webb got the job done in 1875. 1920, Athelda Blybdre leads the American medal sweep at the Antwerp Olympics in the women's 100-meter freestyle. World record time of 1 minute 13.6 seconds, becoming the first United States female Olympic champion. Also on this day, 1920, same place, different sport, American swimmer Norman Ross won his first of three gold medals at the Antwerp Olympics in dominating the men's 1500-meter freestyle. Also won the 400-meter freestyle and the 4x200-meter freestyle relay. 1920, big day for the United States at the Antwerp Olympics. 1924, Major League Baseball Washington Senator Walter Johnson pitched his second career no-hitter, beat the Browns 2-0 in seven innings. 1946, Ben Hogan beat Ed Oliver 6-4 for the first of his nine major titles. 1960, how about this? The American Football League officially began the practice of placing players' names on the back of the jersey. But everyone knows it's the name on the front of the jersey that matters. Who you play for. Play for your parents, play for your legacy on the back, but the front of the jersey, always important there. 1960, the American Football League first implementing that into practice. 1967, Minnesota Twin Dean Chance's second no-hitter of the month beat Cleveland 2-1. And 1968, on this day, Arthur Ashe, pioneer in the men's American tennis world, became the first African-American tennis player to win the U.S. Open men's singles titles. And then into birthdays on this day. Happy birthday, 1927, for Althea Gibson, American tennis player, seven Grand Slam singles titles, born on this day in Clarendon Country, South Carolina, passed away in 2003. Also today, the birthday, 1946 birthday for American Baseball Hall of Fame reliever Raleigh Fingers, and one of the best but least flashy wide receivers in NFL history. How about a birthday today for Marvin Harrison, now Marvin Harrison Sr., American Pro Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion with the Colts, first team All-Pro, 99, 02, 06, an eight-time Pro Bowler, super consistent, never crazy flashy, but always an amazing pro football player, Marvin Harrison, a 1972 birthday, now his son, in case you're trying to feel old, entering year number two in the National Football League with the Cardinals. That's on this day in sports history. We are over time. We're already into the noon hour. Hour number two, right around the corner, headlines, highlights, NFL latest roster cutdowns, Vikings make a trade, the Packers make a trade. You get a trade. We'll dive into what's going on in the NFL, the Bears preview, Major League Baseball, college football, Farmageddon recap, and more. All of that bottled up into hour number two next on Overtime.